If you enjoy this podcast, then subscribe to catch all future episodes.
Charlie McCann, and great to see John Richardson, both looking, despite various one, what a week, both looking remarkably well. Rico's been to Barbados by the look of it.
I wish. No, just Sonny Abersock in...
How does it work? Is that not fake tan or something you've got?
No, honestly, I'm not somebody that sits in the sun. I don't like it. This is just walking. And as my wife kindly says, it's a big surface area. So, you know, can't miss.
Abersock can be a sun trap as well. I remember going back years and years. My family had, you know, it's a big sort of sailing and sort of... sort of fraternity out there, and I remember once it was actually dull overhead, and we were on the beach in Abersock, and I got sunburned because it is an extraordinary. Honestly, the sun wasn't out.
It does have its own microclimate, and
it is.
Yes, you're by the sea. We do have some stars in. Mr. Peter Reed is a regular.
Is he?
Not that he ever gets a suntan because he's always in the bars, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Rico, let's start with you on your Abersock journey. It's been a crazy week, hasn't it, with Super Leagues and everything's changed, but nothing's changed in the end.
No. Well, as we all know, and everybody's spoken very eloquently about it all week, at least it's united the football fraternity. That's one thing it's done. But it's just exposed the greed that we all three of us talked about for months on end, you know, where football is going. And I think football, the so-called big six, the slimy six, whatever you want to call them, the slime ball six, I think they've had a real day of reckoning. You know, they're now at the weakest they've been for years, which is fantastic for the rest of football. But this is nothing to do with football. As we know, it's just a power grab. It's a money grab. It's a guarantee that these clubs will be well off, you know, for years to come. And to hell the rest of us. Because I keep on saying to you, and I mean it, if those clubs want to leave, and obviously they're not going to now, well, let them leave, because we will not miss them. Football will continue. That is what's so good about the English game, the football pyramid. You know, it goes right down to non-league. And it's. I know we've had a pandemic and a lot of clubs are in trouble, but generally it's pretty strong and it will survive. But let's not get away from this. This was just all about money, all about selfishness. And, you know, to sit in these meetings and then, you know that you're having clandestine meetings with other people, it's rotten to the core. But they've been found out, and great for the fans and great for everybody in football. It's united the country. And, you know, we'll talk about the Champions League later, because that is a power grab by stealth. But, you know, good, it's been stopped.
Has it affected your love of football this week, Charlie?
It was quickly nipped in the bud, but it was sort of embarrassing, because it put people in invidious positions as well. You're not telling me Klopp didn't know much. He knew an awful lot more than he could say and wanted to say. But it the whole thing is just 177 pages long. This has been going on for years, probably, rather than even months. And we knew about it, John, so why didn't everybody else? We've discussed it on here regularly, that we knew about that this was coming and it was only a matter of time. Let's hope that is... I you know, a lot of people think, well, you know, should there be any sanctions against the big six? I think not, other than the fact that they shouldn't have any sort of power and they shouldn't be on any sort of the board, and for at least a sort of period of maybe 5-10 years. I don't think they want to put their heads over the parapet as well. But, you know, nobody's really come out of this with any credit at those clubs, other than the likes of Gary Neville, Jamie Carragher, and the players. I do think that the players... but it would be, I think, very naive of us to think that somebody like Jurgen Klopp did not know. Yes, of course he didn't know the fine print. He's got better things to do than read 177 pages of good-natured waffle. But he did know about it. He did know more than he was able to let on. But I hope that there's a line drawn in the Abersock sand for this. but it has left a sort of bitter taste. And as far as I know, there is three clubs still going ahead. I mean, they haven't resigned, the Juventus, Real Madrid and Barcelona. The whole thing is such a shambles. But we now know where these, if we didn't know before, where these owners, where they think they're bread buttered, they have no passion for the club. They are just money people. And we all know that. And more especially the fans of those six clubs.
I'm really looking forward to going to Crawley against Forest Green. And I don't know, it's just a feeling I've had for so long, Rico, that regardless of what's happened this week, it is that greed factor. It's that, oh, we're going to buy 100 million for Jadon Sancho or Erling Haaland or his agent hawking him. I mean, just something in me, it's completely putting me off.
Yeah, well, what it is, it's great news for the Crawleys of this world. I'm going to Barnsley and Rotherham tomorrow. It's great for these clubs because I think now there'd be a bigger love for your local club than these so-called. I think even before this, I mean, we've talked about this, the three of us, I think a lot of people have been falling out of love, not with the game, but with the business side of it, the money, the obscene amounts of money which go to agents, which go on transfer fees in a pandemic. We're still likely to have a 100 million transfer in the summer, which is absolutely crazy. Football has lost all sense of reality. Now, this is a reality check. It's a fantastic reality check because, Charlie said there, the big clubs will not want to put their heads above the parapet. It is a chance for the other clubs now to try and wield some power back and, you know, let's have an even playing field. Okay. And again, as you both say, these owners have got no love for football. I think only Roman Abramovich is actually a football fan. I think the rest of them are not. You know, I mean, it's been led by the Americans. And I've said for some time, the Americans do not want relegation. They don't have it in their sports.
Yep.
On the other side of the Atlantic. So that's what they want to bring here. You know, they've been after that for years on end. And thankfully, it's not going to arrive. But I do feel it's great news for the smaller clubs.
At the same time, we'll talk about, I had to smile at the way Spurs magnificently sacked Jose Mourinho on the day that everybody's talking about. Genius. Genius from there. Hey, lads, come on, let's get him now. But then, by the same token, almost unnoticed is an expanded Champions League, which we've talked about as well, where I think it's something like 19 games you'd have to win the Champions League, Charlie. And then Rico will no doubt talk to us about coefficients, that clubs who actually don't finish above clubs can still get in, blah, blah, blah. Is that a concern for you? Or is an expanded Champions League something that you'd welcome?
More competition in the... I mean, with the quarterfinals onwards, the last 16 onwards in the Champions League this year, it's been sensational for me. It's been fabulous. But we all have become tired, I think, of so many dead rubbers before Christmas. And if this... You know, and I did read it when it came out, I think, on Tuesday morning or Wednesday morning. I did have a sort of good look through it. I haven't read it since. And I thought it was interesting as well. Correct me if I'm wrong, that a country such as England could have five representatives.
True. Right? Yeah, yeah.
Going forward as well. Whether that, again, I anything is better than the European Super League. And we all agreed, I think, we have... criticised the Champions League, not from the 16s onwards. Fabulous again this year. But that that period before Christmas, and if this is the latest effort, but of course this to me is football people bringing on board other football clubs, taking into account the history of that is fine for me. What, of course, the European Super League was something completely different. And I think we have to, you know, let's get it right. The Nations League, when that came in, we thought this was written over a fag packet. Sorry, you know my feelings about the Nations League. I love it. I really do think it brings competition, real competition towards, you know, I like to see England play, you know, the best teams as well. I like to see Gibraltar. I don't want to see Gibraltar play. Great for them to play Holland occasionally, etc. But then in the Nations League, they can play the teams and they can see if they are developing and they are more competitive games. But no, I thought that was... But getting back to the Mourinho thing again, we've you know, it was like almost the Conservative Party or the Labour Party bringing it out at the time. You can see the company saying, oh, my sake, what a fantastic opportunity, sack him now. Boy, we've got a cup final on Sunday. Bollocks to that. It doesn't matter. There's the carpet. It'll be swept underneath. I mean, it was fantastic. It was like, you know, it was like something out of Veep or something like that. It just brilliant.
The other thing that we'll touch on Mourinho and part of it is, Juan Rico, he walks away with £20 million. I'm sorry to harp on money. It's absolutely ridiculous. But there, and also you've got Infantino as well, who's lobbying for an expanded Club World Cup. Now, one, there's too many games already, but that's more games. But it once again is benefiting the richer clubs at the expense of Burnley, Brighton, and dare I say it, Newcastle.
Yeah. Talking about burying bad news, UEFA got out of jail this week because there would have been hell on about this new expanded championship. Especially the bit that we've mentioned in the last few weeks about that some clubs will be guaranteed places. And that's just like the Super League, to be honest, you know, just a scaled down Super League. So let's not forget about UEFA. UEFA haven't covered themselves in glory either. You know, I just about put up with the Champions League format at the moment. And like all, you know, the two of you, I love it from the round of 16. You know, most group games are boring. So, okay, I just about put up with that. But not this new format, this new extended format, and which then guarantees, say Liverpool, for instance, if this was coming into fruition next season, Liverpool could finish sixth or seventh, and that would, you know, normally they'd miss out, but they won't, because their coefficient would be high enough so they would go in. So again, it's a bit like, it's a little bit Super League-ish, isn't it? So let's not get carried away that UEFA come out of this smelling of roses. That they haven't, and I don't like the new expanded Champions League, and nor do the players, and that's very significant. Very, you know, a number of them have spoken out this week, there's too many games. Now, the players have got power, so what's this space? This might not happen, you know, if the players have their way.
Rick, I'll just stay with you for the time being. Going back to football, I mean, Steve Bruce, it's almost been buried. He won 2 out of 2 from nowhere. And Joe Linton even scored.
Yeah. And the difference is they actually attacked. And also, to be fair, you know, Joe Willock has been a fantastic... I'm not in favour of loan signings for Premier League clubs, but I'll turn a blind eye to this one. Joe Willock has been superb as a super sub. You know, he's come on now and scored 2 important goals. It's all about confidence, isn't it? And also, it's also about Alan San Matan, who is an absolutely fantastic player. You know,
is that a place in Abbotsock? Is it Alan San Matan? A little cove tucked away.
You know, it's lovely, you know, like that French guy who goes past everybody. No, he's superb. He's superb.
Newcastle go to Liverpool, where, take that, were number one the last time they won with Everything Changes. But 27 years ago, what I couldn't believe, Charlie, correct me if I'm wrong, my stats say Everton haven't won at Arsenal. I can only assume that's in the league. For 25 years when Joe Royle's in charge. Would that be right? It's the Friday night game.
Do you know, I thought there was 1 year we got, I think it was a 3-3. I thought Chelsea was the place that we never, and I thought, well, Arsenal, we hadn't done well for years and years. For some reason, I got in my head that we had won at the Emirates recently. But if that's the case, we've had a really poor run at both Chelsea and Arsenal, Everton, as I said, you laughed at me when I said they'd finish eighth.
Spot on, Charlie.
Table this morning, doing myself. Where are they? Of course, they're eighth.
Yeah. This is, I mean, for some reason, Sky have been building this up as a sort of grudge game. I can't really understand why. Yes, Everton's board of directors came out with a terrific, you know, statement, very vociferous against the, you know, the Super League. But other than that, these are two sort of one underachieving side in Arsenal and one who've probably slightly overachieved, but are now beginning to find their level in Everton. But, you know, again, I've got to go on record as saying that Sigurdsson's goal against Spurs, rather, was just something of absolute beauty. And that is, honestly, I know he's capable of that. You know, I'm highly critical of his ability to run or tackle or whatever, but that was something of sheer beauty. And again, James Rodriguez has had his sort of little sabbatical and has come back and he's been very good. I hope Everton have a go at Arsenal because I don't think any of us think Arsenal are any good. And again, Arsenal, I don't know. I just think they're going to hammer somebody soon. I just don't know why. I know they, whether it's like home game, they had 20 odd shots. It's not as if they're not creating the chances, but again, I hope it's a good. I'd settle for a 1-1 or a 2-2 now, that's for sure.
At the same time, I was watching the Everton Spurs game and Harry Kane. I mean, just like, you know, out the talk about finishing from nothing, from nowhere, with utter quality, Rico. And I mean, he came out and said he was sad to see Jose go. I mean, Spurs of all the clubs, they're not in turmoil, but we're obviously associated with the Super League. And will Kane go? Will come back? What's your take on Tottenham? Of course, face Manchester City in the Carabao Cup final this weekend.
Well, first of all, on Harry Kane, they were two snipers' efforts, weren't they?
Absolutely unbelievable.
Out of nothing, as you say. I mean, he wouldn't even know the ball was coming, would he, to the last minute? But two fantastic finishes, which just shows how well he's the best marksman in the Premier League. And you know, if I was Manchester City, desperate to replace Sergio Aguero, he's the man. Never mind about Erling Haaland. This is something that's proven at the Premier League and will score you 25 to 30 goals. Well, certainly in the City side. And it looks like he's going to be missing in the Carabao Cup. So you don't really give Spurs much chance, because if Kane's playing, obviously they're a far better side and more dangerous. But what I would say is that I think we all agreed that we looked at that Jose Mourinho going to Tottenham and he just seemed like his sell-by date had, you know, expired. It was like he was trying to sabotage his own side, you know, because, again, we all agree that going forward, they've got some fantastic players, but he wouldn't even play Gareth Bale. I mean, Gareth Bale had played about 14 minutes in the last games or something like that. Suddenly he's given a chance and he produces. So you just look at that. And also he kept on, you know, changes his central defenders. It was a mess. It's like he's trying to prove something, but I'm afraid he was just going backwards and he was treading water. But the timing of it, I think the timing is very harsh. I mean, obviously, there was somebody that says, oh, well, you know, if Jose Mourinho wins the Carabao Cup, we're in trouble here. He, you know, he said he's come here to win something and he has won something. So how can we sack him? So we'll sack him before he has a chance of winning something. And as Charlie said earlier, you know, fantastic time to sack him with everything else that was going on. So I don't feel sorry for him. I don't feel sorry for anybody that walks away with something like £15 million, but that's not his fault. I mean, that's stupidity of football that we've been talking about, the money that washes around in it.
West Ham Chelsea, Charlie, looks arguably the pick of the games this weekend. I'm fascinated about the Tammy Abraham situation. He's not played in 13 games. I'm a massive Tammy Abraham fan. He's Chelsea's top scorer this season. I just wonder whether he will feature again or whether he's the kind of player that the clubs will be circling around come summer.
Well, I think they will circle around him. It'd be interesting, of course, that, you know, when you see Bellingham at Dortmund, you just wonder whether or not, and Jadon Sancho, whether or not you think sort of best thing for him would be to go abroad. Would any of the Super Six take him, if that's the case, no. I think Aston Villa, that ship has probably sailed as well with Watkins doing so well. Would somebody like, then you've got to go down to, would he be the Leicester City with, but Vardy's almost evergreen, isn't he? And Iheanacho is doing so well. I just wondered about him, I must say. But at the same time, you would think that Giroud is probably, you know, is certainly not going to get any younger. Would he want to be, take his chance there? I keep going back to A.D. Boothroyd's, again, I watched England a few years ago in the under-21. And I hadn't seen much of either Foden or Tammy Abraham. And they came on as substitutes. And they were... This was an England team which had, I think, DCL in and, you know, Calvert-Lewin in, and Abraham was sensational. He and Foden were head and shoulders. And then he goes to Aston Villa and he has a fabulous season. Something's not right there. He has to get his career because he's potentially not somebody who should pick up his money and be in squads. He should be a player, I think, has the ability still to build a team around. I think he could still be that good, although I do think he may have to go abroad to get that, you know, and hopefully that potential, because I'm absolutely convinced it's still there.
You mentioned Bellingham before. What a player. This is the player. You know, Foden, fantastic, blah, blah, blah. This guy, the way he's going, will be the best player for 10 years. He's Brian Robson on speed. You know, he's just... super. He's got everything. I spoke to Trevor Francis about him the other week, and, you know, Trevor was raving about him. Obviously, the links, you know, both made the debut at the age of 16, et cetera, et cetera. This guy is a player. And, you know, if I was one of the so-called Super Six clubs, I'd be after him.
There's absolutely no doubt about it. What, Dan, are we finished down at the bottom, Rico? Going to be Fulham, West Brom and obviously Sheffield? Yeah, you always said, I keep thinking there's five, pretty much five games to play, isn't there?
Nothing to see here.
It's an awful lot. I know it sounds ridiculous, but because I've been focusing down Leagues 1, Leagues 2, looking at the playoffs, there's still sort of 9 points available there. You know, just put a run together. I don't know. I mean, I think
Newcastle... I think Newcastle will just miss out on the European place. I think, you know. No, it's relief. It's relief. It could have been far worse. But they have got some decent players, as we know. I feel sorry for Fulham. You know, they've had a go, but just not good enough. And same with West Brom. Sheffield United, the surprise team. What's happened to them this season? Yeah, but the three of them are down.
Can I just stay with you for a moment? One, Steve Bruce come the end of the season, and two, what's the latest on the takeover, which everybody seems to be trying to shove over the line?
I wouldn't rule the takeover out, especially with everything that's happening in Saudi Arabia. You know, we could have the biggest boxing fights of this century, if you like, going over there. So how they can knock Newcastle back on that one, I don't know. So that's going to run and run. If I was Steve Bruce, I would say, thanks very much. I've done my bit. I'm off. I don't know if he will. I'm just sickened by the abuse he's, you know, had to endure, because, you know, Steve Bruce, it's a cliche, but he's a real football man. He does his best. You know, he's hurting. He's been insulted. He's put up with it. He's delivered. I mean, all he had to do, as far as the owner's concerned, was keep them in the Premier League. That's a different issue. I mean, you know, we should be more ambitious than that. But in answer to your question, I think he'd probably go in the summer, and I think the takeover has got a chance.
We've sort of been on and off the last couple of weeks, Charlie. One of the things I was going to ask you last week, but it still stands this week, have we seen the sports personality of the year in Rachel Blackmore?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. She's... What she's done. I mean, the whole story is fabulous. You know, she didn't get enough points to become a vet, and then decided, well, okay, I'll have a go at you know, becoming a jockey. And what she's done is fantastic. And the thing is, she is a fantastic jockey. And, you know, I wonder when when Rachel looked back in the summer, maybe after Galway Festival or something like that, and she looks back and she thinks, you know, she won the Champion Hurdle, she won the Grand National. There's the three biggest races, which Henry de Bromhead, of course, saddled the winner of, was also the Gold Cup. And she had a choice to make, and she chose the second horse rather than, it's completely unprecedented. Ruby Walsh, Barry Geraghty, Tony McCoy, they've never had. This is completely, and it's the end of the jump season tomorrow in Britain. It's Punchestown Festival next week. Rachel, of course, will have so many great rides, but I think it would bring the curtain down on the 2021 season. She rides the winner. There's only one Irish horse coming across. It's Plan of Attack, and it's ridden. It's the favourite. It's the 4-1 favourite, and it's ridden by Rachel Blackmore. It seems almost inevitable that, you know, that she will ride the winner. But we have to get into, you know, what she's done is completely unprecedented. But she is not a good jockey. She's a fantastic jockey. She always has a mountain. Tactically, she is as good as anything I've ever seen. And that includes, you know, I think AP was the greatest jockey. If I wanted somebody to ride for my life, it would have been at Ruby. But Jesus, this girl is fantastic. And what it will be unparalleled, by men and women. But I just wonder if you think she could have actually ridden the winner of that Champion Hurdle, the Gold Cup, and the Grand National.
Amazing.
It is amazing. And you just take your hat off to her.
Ricker, what have you got for the weekend? Anything that can let us in on? Anything you've been working on?
Can I just say that we are big fans of Rachel and the Richardson household. Thanks for enhancing our bank account. Charlie spoke very well there and agree with every word he said. Fantastic, fantastic. And also what I like is, it's not a woman thing. She is a jockey. No, we haven't got this stupid talk about women, which we have in other sports. She is a fantastic jockey and, you know, fantastic. Great.
John, can I just pick your brains for 1 second?
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
Next manager of Spurs, who do you think?
It won't be Nagelsmann.
No,
he's probably going to Bayern Munich. It should be Brendan Rodgers, but it won't be. It'll be somebody from Spain or Portugal, probably. Everybody's saying it's Nagelsmann, but I think he is going to Bayern. So, and also, he's got a lot to prove yet. I know, you know, RB Leipzig have done well and everything, but you know, just because he's this young and up and coming manager, it doesn't mean to say he can just, you know, slip into Tottenham.
It's a bit rich coming from me, but his gear is terrible as well, isn't it? He's in the Yogi Love get up. I mean, those shirts and everything he's got. What are you doing, mate? He's got a lot to learn on that score, which, as I say, a bit rich coming from me. Lads, we're going to leave it there. Lovely talking to you, Charlie. Take care of yourself, Rico. Keep topping up that tan, mate. And we'll do it all again next week, fellas.
I look forward to it. Have a lovely weekend, guys. See you, John. See you, Rob.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye, lads.